Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, back in the Hales Corner Studios with a nice little, it's a little color from spring training. Gary Ellers and myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Touch, down in Phoenix the last week and a half covering Brewers spring training. We'll bring audio bits and pieces and interviews of what we had down there for the last week and a half throughout the week here on the Wendy's Big Show, and continue to spotlight all the conversation and coverage that we had for the last week and a half down at spring training. Hot Stove Weekly comes back tonight, 6 o'clock. Myself, Tim Allen, we will rehear the conversation that Tim had with manager Craig Counsell, also conversation that he had with Ryan Braun. So Brewers conversation coming up right around 6 o'clock here on The Fan. Right now, the loss of Malcolm Brogdon, more impactful than the lack of performance from Chris Middleton, and yesterday's game being the first game the Bucks play without Malcolm Brogdon due to the plantar fasciitis injury, Sparky, and just the rotation seemed different. A lot of people being visibly upset and shaken with the performance of Nikola Mirotic, who I guess more directly this involves because he is the one filling in the starting lineup for Malcolm Brogdon.
For me at least, I don't think Mirotic stays in this rotation. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and it's funny because the previous day on Twitter, or that morning on Twitter, one dude had tweeted at me and said, oh, this should get DJ Wilson more minutes in the rotation. I was like, how the hell do you figure that? You got Brogdon leaving a guard, and I didn't think that we would even consider going back to Middleton essentially being the off guard in certain situations, but that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to play that jumbo package. For me, may not be popular. Tony Snell is my starting shooting guard again, and that's the end of that. He's long enough to defend. He can hit an occasional three, whatever the case may be. He can still get to the rim a little bit at that point. Your bench pretty much stays the same way it's been playing anyhow. Let Snell go out there and start the first half. Let Snell go out there and start the second half. And then if you've got a hotter hand than Snell at the end of the first half or at the end of the game, then fine. Then that person plays. I just think in order to keep everything the same, that's probably the best way to go about it. I just think for me it still comes down to Middleton. While Brogdon may have had an offensive impact defensively, I just don't know how much difference there would have been defensively at that position had Brogdon been in the game.
414-799-1250, the phone number, and out in Jackson, it's Rami. You're on the Fan. Hi, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
First off, I'd like to say February 2020, dreams will become a reality for the Honorable Leroy Butler. And then that I can only hope because you deserve it. And then on to the Bucks, I just want to say that, you know, Giannis, he averaged, 52 points yesterday, I believe?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay, so 52 points. Chris Middleton, if he's going to be a true number two, he's got to split that workload with Giannis. I mean, Giannis, you know, it's like he sees it. Nothing is, like, his team can't do nothing, so he just takes it all himself. But, you know, Middleton's got to find a way to split that workload with Giannis. He can't overwork him like that. And then, you know, if you had Brogdon in the game that first half, I could see the first half being completely different. It might be your shot selection, your shot production, you know, might be a little bit better than what it was yesterday from Brogdon. You might have some outside shots, and you might have some flashes from Brogdon. But, yeah, that's my take. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate it, man. And with that, Sparky, the slashing ability of Malcolm Brogdon, the chance to get to the cup, is that more of an issue that will be gone and Giannis will primarily be and out along with Eric Bledsoe, he likes to get to the 10 yeah, as well. Now it's more two guys that are going to be attacking and waiting for people to kick out. With Brogdon gone.
See, and this goes back to Middleton. Middleton has the capability to get to the rim, too, and just doesn't. Settles for jumpers and doesn't attack and go to the rim enough. I think Middleton can be another guy that can help you get to the rim. In the way that this has been set up previously, you know, Middleton's out on the wing, Middleton shooting from the elbow, coming off a screen or whatever. But in this case, because you don't have Brogdon, I think that can be an adjustment that's made, where Budenholzer gets to Middleton and says, I need to start going to the rim a little bit more, getting the free throw line a little bit more, and getting us some easy baskets. Middleton can hit free throws. Yeah. So from that perspective, I think that's one of the adjustments I think if I'm Budenholzer, I start to make right now in trying to figure out how this is going to work. Ilyasova didn't play all that bad to me yesterday. I thought he provided some decent minutes when he was out there. I think that's what you can expect from Ilyasova in the playoffs.
Oh, and Brown loves him some Ersan Ilyasova.
Yes, because he's a playoff vet.
Gosh.
Even though this fan base doesn't like him, or some of the people in this fan base don't like him, when it comes playoff time, I think he'll be there, and he'll be a contributor on this playoff roster. And like you were saying earlier about Mirotić, yes, he's been a starter in his career, and I get it. But I think he fits better off the bench on this roster, on this team right now.
Gary, with the expectation being the six-week mark would take Malcolm Brogdon out for essentially the first round of the NBA playoffs, with Chris Middleton giving you what you got yesterday and where Brogdon had been at throughout the entire year, the steadiness that he was, the calming force seemingly in the lineup, is it more of an issue to not have Malcolm Brogdon there or Chris Middleton playing the way he's played for the last couple of months?
You just got to have Middleton step up, man. And coach got to go to him. And I don't know if he has or hasn't. But this is where you earn your money and make it. Now, we saw this with Middleton, where which we didn't know because everybody won't blame Jason Kidd. But we've seen this article that you guys talked about with Jason Kidd and Middleton, where Jason Kidd was trying to get Middleton to take more shots. And he did it.
Mm-hmm. Trying to get him double his three-point attempts per game.
And he did it to it. So I'm not saying that Budenholzer hadn't done this, but if I'm Budenholzer, I go to him and say, hey, man, we need more production from you. We need to – who don't want to shoot more? And I would say to him, if you miss, don't worry about it. Just keep shooting. You can shoot us out the gym if you want to. But we just want to see you increase your total number of shots taken, and we'll deal with that if you're not hitting. But be more aggressive. And that way you give him – and an ability to be a little bit more comfortable with it, take more shots, and if you screw up, you still got a soft bed to go lay in.
Well, and that's like when, I mean, who doesn't like shooting more threes?
But apparently he had his issue with Jason Kidd.
Yeah, with
Middleton
Jason Kidd
didn't want to take all those threes. He wanted to sit in the mid-range and do what he does, and that is his strength at that point. Like Rip Hamilton had his strength in mid-range jumpers.
Right.
That's what Middleton was. Kidd wanted him firing double the amount of threes in games that he was shooting, and he wouldn't do it.
Right, and this should not be about mid-range or anything. This should be about take some shots, man. I don't care if it's mid-range threes. We need more production.
Get aggressive.
Go get some buckets.
Yes, mm-hmm. However you can.
Ram's on the Wendy's Big Show now. Hi, Ram.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
Hey, Leroy, I got to go your Gary Sparky on this one.
Mm-hmm.
You keep saying shooters.
Yep.
You remember the movie? Y'all remember the movie, The Magnificent Seven?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You're a Western guy, huh?
Yesterday. They got shot up yesterday.
Yeah.
My problem with it is this. Philly beat them here on the national stage at home, and it was like at no period of the game they felt threatened that they would lose. It seemed like they were walking through their sets. The busky little pitch, they turn it up. My problem is, and I said this before, Leroy,
mm-hmm.
and I said with the people, they should have went and got Wesley Matthews. Because, see, now you need somebody that can make a contested shot. See, when you're just standing still in the rotation, nobody come out there, you can hit shots. Y'all been in the gym shooting.
So you'd rather have Matthews over Mirotić?
Right now? Going to the playoffs? Yes. Because mm-hmm. you need a clutch player. That's what. Look, you remember it was a period in the game when Butler just took over. And Middleton was out there, and it was like he was shooting by himself like Middleton wasn't even nowhere near him.
Mm-hmm.
Look, if you take away Giannis' production, the Bucks was 28-69. And that's a 28 spread out throughout the whole game. If you take Giannis 52 points away, the Bucks was 28-69. Now, going into the playoffs, this was – now, I say if they were playing the Philly, they probably would have got blown out by about 25. This is at home now. They playing home from their home crowd. And I'm going to say this. I'm with Sparky. This is about Middleton, and I think he's not built that way, Gary.
Yeah, I don't know if he's not. Maybe he's not. We're going to find out.
We try to make him something that that's not him.
Yeah.
And I say this. I think Bledsoe got to be the guy. He got to be the one that's penetrating and kicking the ball out to Middleton to make that shot. And I think if you take that pressure, I think Middleton would blend in more that way. But saying that he the number two guy, I don't think he built that way.
Appreciate it, Ram. And this is part of that conversation of Eric Bledsoe has gotten a lot of, I don't know, leniency and in disrespect by Bucks fans for his play. But I mean, ever since he signed that contract, it feels like Eric Bledsoe can do no wrong to Bucks fans.
Well, he gained loyalty from the Bucks fans that he may or may not have had prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I need Eric Bledsoe to be more aggressive in games like playoff games, right? I think, and I don't know if it's the same for everybody, Leroy, or not, but back in the day, Sam Cassell would always tell people that he knew his job as a point guard early on was to get his stars going to keep them engaged on the other side of the floor. So get Ray a couple buckets, get Glenn a couple buckets. Mm-hmm. Sam would find his buckets later on, right?
Yeah.
This is a little bit different for me. I think Bledsoe is a guy that needs to get himself going offensively early in a game in order to keep him engaged in the game for the whole game. I think if he gets a couple, two, three buckets early and starts feeling himself a little bit, then I think you got him for the rest of the game. But if Bledsoe's kind of a bystander and kind of watching early and not really getting into the flow of things offensively and everybody else is taking shots and not him, then I think it becomes a little bit more harder to get him engaged again.
See, I would agree with that, too. And I think with the lineup they put out there, Middleton is really the two, really. He's a two.
Yep.
Because you have a lot of size and length there. But sometimes having the two guards when you got the president and Brogdon, by the way, not the other guy. When you have two guys out there that have a common influence, when these kind of runs happen on you, it's easy to, you know, kind of brace these kind of runs. Because, you know, listen, this is a good team, okay? These teams are not going to just lay down. But when they have these, like these 13-2 runs types, when you have two guys out there that can really rotate the ball, calm everybody down, that's what George Hill is going to do. So that's what I will put him in the lineup and Mumiratis back to the bench. Because when you have a sixth man coming off the bench, it got to be like Crawford. What you got from the Detroit Pistons, Gary? The microwave.
Oh, Vinny Johnson.
Hey, man, he come off the bench, he letting it go.
Oh, letting it fly.
I mean, hey, you need somebody to come off the bench to pick everybody up. And then the coaching staff, which I think has done a great job, when Giannis is off the floor, have the right combination to where one guy doesn't feel like he needs to be the guy. But that's when, and we've seen by the numbers, Middleton usually steps his game up when Giannis is off the floor. And I think when Giannis is out there, he wants Giannis to do his thing. And he got to get his points another way. But he's a shooter, and you know how shooters are. We are a little fragile. We like our shots in certain spots. If I don't hit that spot, I won't take that shot because it's a low percentage shot to me. Because Giannis is better in the paint. He feel more comfortable in the paint. That's why he doesn't maybe take a lot of the long jumpers or three-pointers. He's good where he's comfortable. And that's our coaching staff have you understand we're going to expand your shots a little bit now.
Well, Giannis,
they're going to give you this. You
got
to take it.
You can tell he's got a couple of spots on the floor where he doesn't mind firing from three. He likes that right wing and he likes straight on.
Yeah.
Yep. So he's dribbling himself to that spot.
Oh, Billy, that's a great point. I would get him to those spots and say when you any daylight between you and the defender, let it go. If you're not in your spot, okay, you can pass.
I did that one time when I was playing basketball. The guy was standing like right. I was a really good right corner shooter, and this guy was standing right there. I said, "Hey, man, that's my sweet spot. Get out of the way." But he was defending me, so he decided not to do it. Sean's in Racine. He's next on the fan. Hey, Sean.
Hey, I completely agree with Sparky about Middleton. I think it was in the third quarter yesterday. He drove and got a dunk in the place. Like, went crazy.
Yep. You
would have thought they just took the lead. And even the national broadcaster said that is a rare thing from him.
Sure is.
So other people know it. I think what was frustrating yesterday was Giannis put up 52 points in only 36 minutes. It ain't like they ran him ragged. Philly didn't have an answer for him. So the fact that he was able to get that kind of production, and then when it comes down to it, Mirotić, even if he would have hit below his season average and gotten 2 of 6 of his three-pointers, they win that game. You can sit here and say that on pretty much any game, if they would have done this, if they would have done that. But come on, they've had too many games recently where over half the team goes cold.
Mm-hmm.
So Brogdon seems to help Bledsoe. They play off each other.
That's right.
And that is a key thing. I'm not saying it's worse than the Middleton not showing up this last game. But it's been frustrating with how spotty Middleton has been. I almost wonder how coachable he is, considering the stuff came out about kid trying to get him to shoot more threes, and now it's still the same thing. Either go to the hole or kick it out to the three. He needs to be able to hit them shots. It took till the end of the game for him to start hitting them threes.
Right. Man, you make a
Appreciate the call, Sean.
Great phone call. I don't want to get too much into the Jason Kidd thing with Middleton, but
because it's gonna have to.
Because I'm gonna leave that.
Yeah, you don't have to
leave that for somebody.
But what it is, Leroy? But here's what it is.
Yeah,
you don't have to because we both like Jason Kidd, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, Jason Kidd.
So what it is just a track record that Chris Middleton admitted to. Yes. Did he admit it to it, Steve?
Yeah, in the article.
Yeah. So it ain't made up. Leroy ain't got to do allegedly.
No,
I will say it.
He don't have to do allegedly. It's something that Chris admitted to. And so a caller could be right. It could be, you know, a coaching thing. I mean, we don't know. But we know he had a problem with coaching.
For sure.
Somebody told me, does UNLV have a job open?
The UNLV running Rebels, the head coaching job?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Nebraska's about to have a job opening. It sounds like Miles is about to get fired, and it sounds like Fred Hoiberg's about to get the job, according to Jeff Goodman.
Matt saw someone, they offered Jason Kidd the head coaching job at UNLV.
That's where Rob Jeter is, as an assistant.
Is that where Rob Jeter's at?
That's where he's been.
See what's going on over there.
Now, if I'm Jason Kidd, I love Las Vegas. I mean, everybody knows I love Las Vegas.
Yeah, Rebels coaching search gets underway.
I think I would hold off till the summer.
LeBert told me that Jason Kidd's leading candidate.
Just let me see if I can get that Lakers job. See if I can get that Lakers job.
I don't think Jason Kidd wants to go recruit kids. I don't see that being a thing.
No,
Jason Kidd doesn't have to recruit.
Jason Kidd's not going on the road, traveling around the country, trying to get kids to come play for
him.
No, man.
You want me to rebuild?
Get out of here. I mean, it's Vegas. It's Vegas.
You're talking to own rat now.
I get it's Vegas, but I'm not. No, man.
I think that school recruits itself in that point.
They come in. You know how stuff is. And he'd be the first guy, real big guy that they had. They just laid it, just a big suitcase, Leroy, right on.
Gary.
On the table.
So like what Avery did down in Alabama. Do what you want to do.
That job should be Stacey Ogden's job. That's whose job that should be. That should be Stacey Ogden's job. It should be one call. Stacey, do you want it or not?
Agreed.
Done.
Agreed.
That's what it should be.
Well, I hear he's inside on the inside that he's the guy.
I agree with Baby Tosh. If I'm Jason Kidd, I'm calling Magic. Dude, do I get to coach LeBron or not?
If not, because UNLV got a whole wad of cash sitting on the table.
It's Vegas, man. I'm going to be warm all year. Mm-hmm.
And you know they're going to tell him, we want you to just do whatever you need
Open
to
it up. Open it up.
I just can't see him going into houses.
I don't think he would have to at that point. I mean, you're recruiting. Come play in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but you're recruiting.
In the sunshine.
But you're recruiting against Calipari, Krzyzewski, because that's what he's going to do. He's going to go get one and done.
True.
He ain't going to be trying to do Wisconsin.
True.
He ain't doing the Badgers philosophy. Mm-hmm. He ain't coaching kids for 4 years. I want the McDonald's All-Americans. I want the kids that are going to come in here and be in the NBA. That's what I want. If I'm Jason Kidd, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be Wisconsin.
It would be fun to watch Jason Kidd in the NCAA tournament. I'll tell you that much. Coaching that, that would be fun.
UNLV, cuz?
And the best part is, if it was this year, you could come and hang out, watch, you know, Jason Kidd's UNLV running Rebels with the Big Show on Friday. We'll be at Element Lounge for College Basketball Friday, March 22nd, 2-6, with the Bacardi Babes. How about it? $4 Grey Goose, Bacardi, Casadores.
I was like, that's different.
Oh, that would be different, and we might
that would be awesome.
We might charge a cover at that point.
Right. We're charging people get paid.
Well, you know who will be shortly thereafter here, don't you? Robert Kraft will be coming too. Victor.
No,
man. Come on, man. You don't got to go there.
Robert Kraft coming, Cardi B.
You don't got to go there. You bring stuff up at the wrong time, man.
2-6 coming up on Friday. $4 Grey Goose, $4 Bacardi, Casadores, $2 domestic beers, $3 imports, and $5 wing buckets. I mean, a Macintosh.
How much is
sorts of them things? Element Lounge is Milwaukee's newest spot for all the entertainment needs. Whether it's a sports bar, lounge, restaurant, or club scene, Element Lounge allows you to be in your element. March 22nd, 2-6, with the Big Show live, College Basketball Friday, Element Lounge, 618 North Water Street, Milwaukee, ELMNTLounge.com. Wendy's Big Show back after this on The Fan.
definitely we felt it tonight. You know, it's not having Malcolm, it's a big loss, but at the end of the day, you know, we gotta play as a team, and we have a lot of guys ready that are gonna step up.
There's Giannis Antetokounmpo yesterday after the Bucks fall 130-125 to the Philadelphia 76ers, possibly an Eastern Conference Finals preview. Sixers now with that win yesterday. One thing that I guess we haven't touched
on.
They're in the playoffs with that win yesterday. That game meant a lot to that 76ers
unit.
Yeah,
big win for them.
Yeah. And also Brett Brown, too, who's sporting just one of the ugliest beards of all time. Can somebody tell you that, dude, that he is gray all over the place? It's not a good look.
That's all right.
Oh, shave that off, man. Come
some
on,
guys
dude.
Are proud to be gray. Some guys ain't trying to hide
like
that they're gray.
Not like that. Remember that's Lovie, not being gray.
Remember Lovie Smith's beard for Illinois? That was full-on snowman look there with all his gray that he had going on. He didn't care.
Our man Jim Ozarski of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel listening to the conversation we had about Jason Kidd and recruiting into Las Vegas and said, understandably so, these kids are 17 and 18 years old. Vegas doesn't help recruit one-and-dones. I would disagree with the fact of the scenery that would be around those young men in Las Vegas at 17 or 18 years old.
You don't think a 17 or 18 year old kid can get down with all those females in Vegas?
Yes, thank you. Thank
you must be kidding me. I can't hear you. You can turn your mic on. I mean, that's a.
Yeah, just take one trip.
Right. That's it.
That's all it is.
I mean, that's all it is. And if you're one and done, let's be real, academics don't really matter.
Don't matter.
So from that perspective, dude, they're just going to come hang out, play basketball, right. Party a little.
Go to the pool, yeah.
And what you're thinking right away, Jason Kidd's my coach. He's got connections to the right. NBA.
And you know what? I don't know who Jason Kidd is. I had to walk and play the YouTube. There, that's your coach. You good?
They know
I'm good. Dude, Giannis didn't know who the heck he was. He went bottom of my YouTube.
But Giannis was from over there.
Yeah, I'll take you another place. Brogdon and DJ Wilson, when they got Pau Gasol, went and looked him up on YouTube to see what he was like back in his day.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done that.
They did.
I don't know if I'd admitted to it, but I probably would have done it.
Yeah, you're not going to see that same player. Stop.
No, yeah, yeah.
No, but they just wanted to see what he was all about.
He was a bad joker.
Yeah, he was.
Mm-hmm. Kendrick's on the north side. He's next on the Fan. Hey, Kendrick.
Happening, fellas. I just wanted to say we shouldn't overreact too much.
Go.
I mean, they were 16 for 50.
There we go.
But I do want to say once again about Middleton, and I know that's Leroy's guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to ask Leroy
ask him.
And Gary, guys who have played at the highest level, professional level, if those guys, because if you look at the stats, basically we got out-rebounded by a few, but we had, I think, as many people in double figures. If those guys, especially a second guy, could have showed up just a little
bit,
made it a tighter game where we could have gotten – like maybe two behind, I think that Philly would have gotten a little tighter, and you guys could speak on that being professional athletes. When you're winning, doing great, but a team comes back, do you not start thinking, well, I got to make a play, you know, go outside of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
We never did. We never really got close, and it seems like Giannis played super hard. And I'd like to ask you, have you ever seen a guy – he's not even fooling us, Middleton, in a contract year, because I heard you guys say it about the guys Packers sign contract year. Middleton's not even fooling us in a contract year.
No, he's not.
He is who he is.
Thanks for the call, Kendrick. No, you got to think that he's kind of losing himself significant money in the last 3 months.
He is.
No, he ain't.
And he's going to lose even more if he plays like this.
Well, outside of the All-Star game, I should say. I think gained him quite a bit of money.
Do you think he really wants to play in this offense?
Yeah, he does. This is office for him. He's a shooter. He likes to take shots. I just think we're overreacting, trying to overanalyze Milton.
No, here's nobody's overreacting, doing? But here's the deal.
You guys are always
nobody overreacting. Leroy just ain't going to do it, whatever.
I'm just saying he's your second best player.
Leroy's right, and Leroy has ever said anything right, but he is what he is.
Yeah, he is what he is.
He's so right about that. He is what he is. And he is not worthy of commanding $30 million per year.
Oh, yeah, he is.
I don't disagree with you. I just think that
let me just say this, because folks hear this on the radio. But whatever he can make, get all you can.
You better.
Oh, no doubt.
Right? We all agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
So people call and talk about, you know, you don't have to worry about saying that I'm trying to not let this guy get money. And I, whatever he can get, all you can.
No doubt.
But
just don't let it be from the Bucks.
No, let it be from the Bucks. Oh. If they want to pay you 30, take the 30.
Right. Yeah, nobody tried to tell Chris Middleton not to take money.
Come on.
But this is my thing. I just wonder if Middleton, when he gets to free agency, right, if it's going to be about offensive fit as far as what the coach wants me to do. As far as what the coach wants me to do, what the coach is going to allow me to do, versus where he is now, which is not really a big fan of the mid-range jumper, just shoot threes, right? As far as if he's going to go looking for that coach, that's going to let him go back to doing what he feels comfortable doing and that he thinks he's really good at doing, that Rip Hamilton role. If that's going to be a thing for him getting to free agency. He said all the right things, like, I want to play with Giannis, I want to be here, blah, 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 blah. And then they came back the next time and asked him, and he said, well, we'll see what happens in the summer. So I just, for me, it just doesn't appear like he's as into being as aggressive maybe as he has been, you know, in the last couple of years this year. Maybe I'm wrong. It just doesn't feel like it's the Chris Middleton we saw in the playoffs last year. Like, I haven't had that feeling all year. Normally, and we've talked about it, he'll carry you for 2 or 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He'll just get red hot. He'll be like, damn, this dude's good. And then he'll go into his funk.
Right.
But we really haven't seen him get, like, red hot.
And, like, take over for
a couple
three,
weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks, something
right?
like that.
So yep. now you're saying, well, when we get to the postseason, I hope he does it. Hadn't done it all year in this offense. So can he do it in this offense in the postseason? I don't know.
It would be cool if Chris Middleton went in Ryan Braun style like he did before the playoffs last year, walked in, guys, I know I haven't been here all year, but I'm going to stay healthy. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to carry us for the next 3.5 weeks. And with 12 games left in the regular season, 8 of which are at Fiserv Forum.
I want to ask Leroy a question.
Bucks need 8 of those 12 games to win 60
What's
games.
What's the question, Junior?
Can we do it after the sports flash?
Sure.
Or are you gonna forget it?
Oh, he's gonna forget.
Write it down right okay, here. Here's he's a gonna, pen. Here's a pen. Write it down. Okay, you got one.
Yeah.
Sparky.
He'll forget. Watch.
Can you tell all the people about Wendy's and all the great food that you can order over there?
Hey man, look, the Bucks win. You win at Wendy's. Unfortunately, they didn't win yesterday, but good news—they play the Lakers tomorrow night, so they get a win there. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Every time the Bucks win, you have 24 hours to go to any participating Wendy's and get either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger with the purchase of a medium drink. Would anybody be surprised if LeBron doesn't play tomorrow night? By the way, I was just thinking about that. Every time the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. So if they win against the Lakers tomorrow night, then on Wednesday, you can take advantage by getting yourself a medium drink and then either a free small chili or a free junior bacon cheeseburger. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's.
Giannis or LeBron might not want to play tomorrow night just because of how humbled he got at the Garden the other night. Oh, goodness gracious, Mario went at him. Also, question Gary Ellerson has for Leroy Butler, and Leroy Butler is not upset that one Green Bay Packer will not be returning. More next week. Seth Everett joins us here on the Wendy's Big Show coming up in about 7 minutes from right now. Wendy's Big Show on The Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh, Never Frozen Inbox, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch with you till 6 o'clock. Jim Ozarski, our buddy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, continuing to come at us with why.
Is he listening to us?
Yeah, no, for sure he is. Yeah, and Jim's a good friend. Great writer covering the Packers for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Understandably so, not covering the Green Bay Packers at this moment because.
Wow. What is he saying?
He's coming back in the conversation that we had with Jason Kidd,
right.
possibly going to UNLV
right.
and being the head coach of the Running Rebels. Yeah. And I said, wow, I mean, that school kind of recruits itself primarily right. because of the scenery right. that you can find right. at any pool right. imaginable.
Right.
I understand that when you start college,
right.
when you're a one and done, who probably Jason Kidd's going to want to get,
right.
you're going to be 17, 18 right. years old, maybe 19 years right. old. Too young to get into the 21 and over bars. But right.
What is Jeff saying? Did you have it?
I'll tell you this, Gary. I think there's a different way that you can recruit and you can showcase these young guys that there are different ways to enjoy yourself in Las Vegas if you're under 21 years old. There can be more ways. We can show you the time.
He's tweeting at us.
Jeff
is the same.
They are literally women at every college. Academics aside, these kids are still broke and underage. Vegas is no better draw than any other college. Pros, free agency for the Raiders, way different. Understandably so. No income tax.
I disagree with Jim Orzowski, and I hope he's still listening. They just haven't had the right package for that. Jason Kidd, along with everything else that Vegas has to offer, is the right package for that. They just haven't had the right head coach who could the glitz and glamour. Jason Kidd brings in the glitz and glamour of all that. That's a catch in itself. They just haven't had the right package to go along with to get those kids there in Vegas. And Vegas is a hot spot. He's right about the money and all that stuff, sure. Blah, blah, blah. But Jason Kidd is good enough where he can add to what Jason Kidd is all about, and what they have to offer in Vegas is almost a throw-in.
And Jim continued by saying, when was the last time UNLV was nationally relevant? It had Vegas to recruit since forever. The city has no pull for this
type
of thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They didn't have Jason Kidd.
Right. And, I mean, back in, like, the 70s
was the head coach?
When
who
was
the head coach
big time,
Steve,
right?
You know?
I don't remember.
Exactly. see what I'm saying?
But
you know, who was the head coach before that? Don't remember.
Rice, I think, was the guy's name. But
Jerry?
No. Okay. But I think he was an alum, too, from UNLV. Stacey Ogman would have been my first choice, right?
I don't disagree with that.
But now it's Vegas, right? So if any university is going to roll the dice to try to get themselves back in national prominence, it's UNLV, right?
Right.
Why not just go hire Rick Pitino? Why wouldn't you just go hire Pitino?
Yeah, corruption with corruption.
Why wouldn't you just roll Pitino into that?
That's a great decision.
Pitino would put UNLV on the map in a second. Whoa. You don't think that? Yeah, he would put them.
That may be too much.
I don't know, man. It makes sense to me. I'm telling you, he would go in there, he'd recruit one and dones like the other guys do, he'd have them be a top five program, That versus Louisville, are you kidding? I'd rather go there.
Him and Larry Brown. Take your pick.
Larry Brown would be interesting, too.
In Vegas?
What? Yeah. Yep, that's another one.
And Rick Pitino's too fun. Like, I'm filling out my bracket earlier this morning, I'm looking at Louisville, I'm like, I don't know if they're going to be the same nasty tournament team without Rick Pitino there anymore, because he was just something different in the tournament.
But Louisville been losing games. They up by like 20 or 15. They still be just blowing games.
You know,
you want to talk about my good friends?
Yeah, at the Jewelry Center.
You know what?
Shop TJC.
That D Murray's a very .com. He's a very versatile guy.
5'2" player is what they call him.
He's 5'2". I mean, don't get me wrong. Cut his teeth selling jewelry.
Jewelry,
yeah. Don't get me wrong.
I thought his brain stopped working for a second.
Don't get me wrong, baby Taj. I mean, but
last week you threw it to Steve and thought it was me, and now
he's
just
got
stopped talking.
Three different locations right now. I mean, that's how Dean made his money. But I want
that lawsuit is going to get another.
Yeah, but I want to let you guys know there's something. I mean, Dean ain't just
a lot of tape you can play for
the jury guy. Yeah, I know. He does a lot more than just selling jewelry. I mean, he is a community, I don't want to say liaison, but he is a community guy, and you can look no further than what he's trying to help Leroy do right now.
Yeah, I think the teachers, we're trying to get some of the teachers into the wedding, and you have
to
shop TJC buying.
Your wedding?
I actually went and got a measure. I got that.
You did? There. Nice. Nice.
Yeah, it was amazing. So if you're a teacher,
did you get yours,
Gary?
I'm going tomorrow.
He was supposed to.
Cool.
Yeah,
it was a holiday for Gary yesterday.
Did man get his?
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah,
and Papa,
your son?
Papa's done.
Yeah, awesome.
Everybody's done with Gary. No, I think it's about eight guys. It's not. Guys are busy.
We got like 25 guys standing up.
They got some time. They just get caught up in that prom thing, and then you're gonna have to wait. But Dean is gonna make sure the teachers are able to have a chance to come down to the wedding May 11th. So guys, girls, go on to shoptjc.com/teachers and you can sign up. I was at Pick and Save this weekend. A lot of teachers came out. I gave them the information and they were able to go on there. Now the list is long, but don't worry about that. You can't win if you don't put your name on it, and it's free. Just go on the site, sign up. On April 1st, I'm going to make 3 phone calls. You may be one of the 3 people that Dean Murray is going to help get to the wedding and have a lot of fun. And you get a chance to eat as well. So
with that being said, he also texts me over the right. He says, don't miss the Pandora's Jewelry Save More event. This is a big deal. From March 21st through the 25th, spend $150, save $40. Spend $250, save $80. Or spend $400 and save $160.
Oh, wow.
That is the Pandora Jewelry event that they have coming up March 21st through the 25th.
My kids are going to be
nice.
Over there. They love that Pandora jewelry stuff. They love it.
I wish that was like 3 weeks later, because then if Houston won, I was going to be able to have some money to spend on some jewelry. Our national baseball insider, Seth Everett, joins us next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Towson, joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, our National Baseball Insider. Seth Everett joins us every Monday at 3:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Seth, appreciate the time, man, and now 10 days away from opening day, and somehow still Dallas Keuchel does not have a job in Major League Baseball.
That's amazing. It's amazing, and now, you know, there's all kinds of rumblings. Gio Gonzalez reportedly is close. I had a good source tell me that this morning, so I would expect something in the next 24 to 48 hours. But no Kimbrel. I mean, it's getting weird. It's still so strange because at this point, these guys just want to play. And I can't imagine that any team can argue that they couldn't use Dallas Keuchel.
Okay.
There's no team. Like, all 30 major league teams could use a Dallas Keuchel. Nobody could say, no thanks, we're set. None of them.
Let me ask you this. If you were representing and you were the agent for these two guys, Keuchel and Kimbrel, what is your advice to both of them right now, knowing that the season essentially begins next week? Is it just, we're just going to sit it out and we'll just wait for somebody to get hurt and then have them come to us? Or is it, let's just take a deal for 1 year and go back on the market next year and get into camp now?
Well, the problem is, you know, the league and the union are planning talks during the year.
Yep.
Right, so we don't know. Like, let me just play it out for you. What if they agree on something? What if the union? I mean, I think there's a better chance of hell freezing over.
Sure, mm-hmm.
But let's just say hypothetically the rules change. Look at Nolan Arenado. I think that's the best argument. Nolan Arenado is a guy who could command Bryce Harper like money. Right, you could argue that Nolan Arenado is a better player, albeit I think he's a year older than Harper. You could argue he's a better player. So let's just use that as the model. He signed an extension with the Rockies. Do you think it's because he likes the Mile High Air?
No.
Like, he's worried about what the free agency rules are going to be.
For sure.
If I tell these guys, I would imagine that, and they're both Scott Boras clients.
Right.
I would imagine that he has sat them down and they've gone out a minimum, saying this is the minimum I would take. What I would say is now, when it hits March 20th, I would say let's revisit those minimums, because I have heard Keuchel will not talk to you unless it's too guaranteed.
At what?
It varies. I've heard all kinds of conflicting.
Look, if it's 2 at 24, I'll play ball at 2 at 24.
Right. We talked about
right.
that.
Yep.
To me, I'd offer 2 at 24 with a mutual option for a third year.
Yep, done.
That's how to it. I would even do it 2 years at 30.
Because, again, you think about the Brewers' bullpen. If you add Kimbrel in there with Knebel, with Hader, with Jeffress, you're four deep on the back end of that bullpen.
Well, and with Jeffress and the obvious situation that he's going through with his shoulder fatigue.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it makes perfect sense. Now, you know, he struggled. Look, let's not kid ourselves. He, in the first half of last year, struggled.
Yep.
He wasn't 100% physically. I don't think he's a sure thing anymore. And the model that this is trying to prove is they're calling this the Albert Pujols rule, which is you don't sign a guy based on what he did. You're signing him based on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument is, and it's two separate arguments, is Craig Kimbrel's best years behind him? Probably. But does he have two good years left? Hell yeah, he does. We're talking about one of the top five relief pitchers in the sport.
Seth,
it's a strange thing, but I can't pick on the Brewers for this because, again, I have 29 other teams that I could easily say, what the hell are you guys doing?
Yeah, I totally agree, and it's similar for me with that Bryce Harper contract. I understand the years and the money, but realistically, at 25.4 a year or whatever the exact annual value came out to, just about any team in baseball could have signed that deal.
And it
brings me to this, Seth, with what Christian Yelich did last year. I understand how awful of a business idea this is to buy out affordable years for one of the best players in baseball.
I know.
But at what point do you approach him and say, Christian, you've outperformed this. Let's tear this up and make you a Brewer for the rest of your career.
I would do it, and I would say, look at what Nolan Arenado just did. I mean, Nolan Arenado to me is the model because the Yankees did not go after Manny Machado because they wanted Nolan Arenado. I can't speak highly enough of this guy. Like, think about baseball as we remember it from like the early 2000s. and see that. You remember the Yankees when they got like Jason Giambi and Raul Mondesi and like all these random big names just because they could stick their chest out and do it? The Yankees went into this winter not signing Manny Machado, who said publicly he wanted to be a Yankee. And they didn't sign him because they wanted Nolan Arenado. And Nolan Arenado turned back and signed with the Colorado Rockies for 8 years. Now, if I'm advising Christian Yelich, I would say sign it, because try to get 10 years out of the Brewers, because, first of all, you like it here. And second of all, again, you don't know. There could be term limits.
Yep. Right. You're right.
They could be signing guys. They could be putting people in a pool and having free agency day because they've seen how popular that was with the NFL. They might lose guaranteed money. And all of those things would be grandfathered. So all of that. Bryce Harper would have signed for 17 years if he could have.
I don't blame him.
That's a great point. Talking about the National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett on the Wendy's Big Show.
Hey, Seth, because I want to follow that point up, because I don't want the Brewers to say, well, in the back of my mind, we don't want to get stuck with another Braun contract. Later years, we're stuck with a big contract and it hurts us. But my question is, Jimmy Nelson hit like 95, 96 in a few pitches. I just have to get an update on him. Anything you've heard, anything about him will be much appreciated, because if he's throwing in the mid-90s, we're getting close here.
I still say slow down. Let's see how he bounces back. Again, he can air it out. How's he throwing his breaking stuff? Mm-hmm. I saw that too. I saw that on Twitter, and I was not overwhelmed. You know what I'm saying? I just want to take a very conservative approach with him. I'd like to see the month of April. I don't want to see him, and I'd like to see him on a nice throwing program so that he ramps up for a May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he says he's ready, I would still want him on that program. Extended spring training, AAA, I don't care what you do. Just let him come back, because when he comes back, I don't want hiccups.
Right.
I don't want him coming back for two starts and then has to miss three. I want him coming back, and then he's consistent. And, you know, you guys referenced the bullpen. When he comes back, he only has to go four innings and work his way into this so that by the All-Star break, he's a seven-inning pitcher.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, whatever you can get from him would be great. Now, tell me if I'm crazy or not, but
I'd still sign Keuchel.
Well, I don't know if this is going to hurt my next question, but I think Freddy Peralta should be your opening day starter.
I don't have a big argument.
I'm putting him up there. I'm putting him up there. I know he's young. Let's see what happens.
I don't care. I don't care who starts opening day. I don't think that really matters.
It's going to be Chacin, right?
Did they name that, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I just want to make sure I didn't mention it. I just think that it's irrelevant. I care who pitches the last game of the season.
Seth, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you why you do have to care is because for the last 5 years, every single guy that starts opening day for the Brewers seemingly gets hurt. And now they've started doing it in, like, raising it to an art form and Chase Anderson spiking his face off of the dirt in San Diego.
My little game last year was, because you know Marco Antanasio sits in on the TV booth, and he usually goes like the fourth or fifth inning. Mm-hmm. Will the starter still be in the game when Antanasio goes in the booth?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Let's do a prop bet.
I like that.
All right, now you're speaking language.
I'm calling you from Jersey. I can do that bet.
Yes, you can.
Oh, okay. Now, all right, Seth. Yeah, we're going to talk off. Yeah, we'll talk. We'll talk. I might need to send you some stuff over there. That's our National Baseball Insider, Seth Everett, joining us from New Jersey here on the Wendy's Big Show. As he does, and that's one of my favorite inventions in this entire world, Seth. I'll tell you that right now. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week at 3:48.
I'll talk to you guys soon.
That's Seth Everett joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. There is some... boys, there is some money to be made in this NCAA tournament. Later on in the show, I was going to bounce a couple of things off you guys, if you don't mind any advice.
Man, I'm too broke.
Would you
that.
Just no,
well, it's
no,
not
you,
our money. It's his
not
money.
No, it's not your money. No, I'm not asking you to gamble.
Yeah,
your
I'm not
money.
Giving
no,
him any
no,
money.
No, 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 no.
Nobody else money either.
Well, no, I'm just asking for a couple of pointers. I got a couple of
and
couple
you won't
of things
be mad
really
if it goes
like.
Wrong.
No, because I think it's more fun for the show.
Okay, right. Just making sure
it's more of a I have the allotment, and I'm using it for the show.
Right.
So whenever we make a bet, we'll agree on, you know, some futures that we like for this tournament, and we'll place some money down, and hopefully the show makes some money.
All right.
I enjoy you know, sharing, people helping people really is what it really is. It's the Wendy's Big Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan. Expectations for the Milwaukee Bucks right now as the one seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs could have changed a little bit more yesterday. Also could have changed a little bit more with some news on Saturday night. Talk about that coming up next. Wendy's Big Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.